So Sri Aurobindo says that this limitation, nature wants to break. Break in such a way that you don't need to seek knowledge. You already possess knowledge automatically, as easily as when you open your eyes and you see things automatically. Similarly, a time must come when you say, I want to learn the life divine. You just open the book and all knowledge is in your mind. Now today people will simply laugh and say, this is impossible. But this is what Sri Aurobindo says, that we have to develop in this very body, in this animal consciousness, a knowledge which is not sought after. A consciousness no longer seeking, but possessed of truth and light. Now this word truth again is a very important one. Our present seeking of knowledge is a process of what is called trial and error. You try, then error is committed, you learn the error, you try to eliminate it, and gradually build up a knowledge which is without error. And that too with many questionings you ask. Is it really verified? 100 times verified? Are you absolutely sure? Even then there are many questions. Whereas here Sri Aurobindo speaks of a capacity of knowledge in which truth is automatic. There will be no error at all possible. A state of consciousness in which error can't enter. Human mind will simply refuse to accept such a possibility. Is it ever possible to have a state of consciousness in which you just say, well, I want to know, and knowledge comes to you on the spot? Once mother was asked, when she had gone to see the sports ground of the ashram, and they were complaining that we want to make a swimming pool, but we don't know where the water is. And suddenly somebody felt, let us ask the mother. So then the question was asked, where to find the water? And immediately mother said, here where I'm standing. And they dug and there was water. There was no seeking of knowledge. It's one of the good examples where there is, you can have physical proof. Where the question was asked, it was not as if she sat down and said, now let me think. Nothing of the kind. On the spot, she said, here where I am standing, there is water here. This knowledge, it's not only that kind of knowledge. For example, the life divine, how the life divine has been written. It is not thinking, sitting down on the armchair for hours and hours and saying, what will be the first sentence and the second sentence, whether there are harmony or not, is there a contradiction or not. Sri Aurobindo said that he used to sit before the typewriter and with a complete silence of the mind, he just used to type directly. It was not seeking and finding and all that sort of thing at all. It's a direct knowledge. The whole book, and not only one book, he wrote 7 books simultaneously. It's a marvel of consciousness. 7 books writing at the same time, simultaneously. And such books like Life Divine, Synthesis of Yoga, Secret of the Veda, Essays on the Gita, Foundations of Indian Culture, The Ideal of Human Unity, The Human Cycle, Future Poetry. Imagine each book. And these books written with such a quietude, the sea of knowledge pouring itself down, not seeking knowledge, but knowledge pouring down, as it were. And you can see how difficult it is to write even 2 sentences. I don't think, even if we try for 50 years to write 2 sentences of this kind, we will be able to write like this. This is our present human consciousness. But it is in this consciousness that Sri Aurobindo says, such a consciousness can be born. And that will be the real marvel, the highest marvel of consciousness. So he says, there, the ultimate miracle would be an animal consciousness no longer seeking, but possessed of truth and light. And then a further capacity, which is even more amazing, with a practical omnipotence. It's a very great word, practical omnipotence. Wherever there is knowledge, there is power. All knowledge is power. So if you have a knowledge which does not seek knowledge, but which is possessed already of truth and light, then automatically the power is automatic. It will flow automatically. So with the practical omnipotent, practical means, here all practical men will be satisfied. All those who say we are practical, they will be satisfied with this capacity. It is not only knowledge of theories and of the heavens, but a practical knowledge of everything in the world, every detail. One of the things that struck all of us who used to go to the mother was the practical omnipotence of the mother. It's a fact seen in a daily life. It was not as if you had to tell the mother what Dipti has written to her. She may allow you to read out the letter of Dipti, but you can be sure that she knew already what was in the Dipti's letter. So that sometimes when you said, "Mother, I want to read out to you," and she has no time, she says, "Already, give this answer to her." Already the answer is given to her. So that means that she was allowing you to read her letter only as a kind of courtesy. Just to give you a chance so that you can speak to her, you can tell her, you can put a problem to her. But for her, it was omnipotence. It's not only a question of answering a question, but doing it immediately. Once I had a tremendous pain over here, excruciating pain. I was taken to Jipmer. I was 32 years old at that time. I was taken to Jipmer, and the doctors could not find what was the reason of this pain at all. Then ultimately they said, "We shall make surgery over this portion of the body just to find out what is wrong." It is called diagnostic surgery. A surgery for diagnosis. They knew nothing as to what is wrong. Just to find out what is wrong, they said, "We shall now have surgery." So before they did it, I sent a word to the mother, and I had a big problem at that time. So I sent this proposal to the mother and also the problem. The problem was that Dr. Karan Singh, this was in 1971, this was 12th of August, 1971, and there was going to be a very big assembly of people in Delhi. And I was asked to speak to that assembly on 15th of August. And I was here in the bed with excruciating pain. And there was a tremendous pressure. Two telegrams had already come that I must immediately go to Delhi and address this assembly. My name was printed. This pain had come suddenly, so I had no answer immediately. So I sent a word to the mother that I have excruciating pain. Doctors want to do diagnostic surgery. And I have to attend a program in Delhi. So tell me what answer I should give. So mother said, "If you have faith, come out of the hospital at once." This was her answer to me. "And prepare to go to Delhi." That was her answer to me. It was amazing. The doctors, when I told them that I want to go out of the hospital, they said, "Look, we will not allow you to go out. You will die at once." So I said, "I want to die." But let me come out of the hospital. Mother has said, you come out of the hospital, it is finished, over. I'll come out of the hospital. Then they took my signature over a document that so and so, on his own will, he has decided to come out of the hospital when we have advised him not to go out. And I signed it up. Then they said, all right, you go out, but don't fly, because if you fly, you'll die in the aeroplane. I went from hospital straight to the mother, and she said, where is the pain, she said. So I said, here, mother, it was excruciating pain. She put her hand here. It was like a cotton, absolute smooth, no pain at all. It was gone. And next day I flew to Delhi, I gave a lecture in Delhi, then I stayed there for a few days and came back. Now this is a fact. This is called practical omnipotence. This is a practical fact that there was a pain. You cannot think that there is no pain. It was excruciating pain. And doctors were not able to see where the pain came from. But this is one of the important facts in my life. I can tell you that I'm still saying before you, doctors had told me that if I flew, I would die. It did not happen at all. I just went there, and I gave a very good lecture at that time. And then I came back after some time. So this is one of the examples of practical omnipotence.